Welcome to the new situation update for May 24th, 2021. This is Mike Adams here, and we have a major new format to announce. And this is all based on listener feedback, so thank you for all your suggestions. And here's what we're going to do. A lot of people complained that, number one, the situation update was too long for the amount of time they had available. And also the other major complaint we had was that people weren't sure where to find the main story that I'm talking about at the beginning or in the title of the podcast. But at the same time, we also have a lot of people who love to be able to just hit play while they're driving or while they're working or doing something, you know, mowing a lawn or what have you, and just to have the whole thing play all the way through and hear everything. But other people just want to hear certain parts, like just the part on vaccines, for example. So here's the solution. We are now going to release this situation update in both parts, or, you know, part one, part two, part three, but then also release the whole thing as a full episode. So it's going to be released in parts and the full episode, and the parts are named up front. So at the beginning of each podcast, like right now, there'll be a table of contents. And then each part will be uploaded separately. So it'll say, you know, situation update for Monday, part one of five, let's say, part two of five, part three of five. And each part will have its own title, like vaccines and COVID, or the economy and collapse, culture wars and idiocracy. I don't know, whatever the topics are. But normally the first part, which is what this part is right now, is going to cover just some crazy headlines and just weird things that are happening, just kind of like, whoa, crazy stuff you need to know about. But we're going to hit those very quickly before we get into the deeper analysis sections. So with that said, one advantage of this, by the way, is that part one will come out earlier in the morning, and then part two will come out, you know, right after that, obviously. But these early parts will be available before the full episode would normally be available, because it takes a long time to render an hour and a half and to upload an hour and a half, and for the Brighteon transcoder to transcode an hour and a half. So in other words, by breaking them into parts, you're going to get the parts sooner, earlier in the morning. And then if you want the full podcast, that might take till 1 or 2 p.m. Central Time, just depending on the day, depending on how much is there. Now, today, being that it's Monday, this is going to be a long, full episode. And this is why I really decided to break it into parts today, because I'm going to try to keep this whole thing under 2 hours. There's so much bombshell news to cover. It's just mind-blowing. And I even had to push stuff to tomorrow because things are moving so quickly. There's just so much information coming over the weekend that you need to know. So let me give you the table of contents for today, and you can decide which parts are appropriate for you or which parts you might want to skip. So part one is, again, the crazy headlines. We're going to go through that. That's going to be very entertaining, and hopefully it won't be that long in duration. Part two is economic news, and we have a big focus on the fact that the California drought is being artificially engineered in order to create food scarcity and collapse the California economy. So that's big. We're also going to talk about the Bitcoin collapse and cryptocurrency and all those things. That's part two. Part three is COVID and vaccines news. And we have, oh my gosh, we have so many, quite a cluster of headlines there. Part four is a special focus on these charts from countries around the world that show how vaccines are causing skyrocketing deaths from, quote, COVID in country after country all around the world. So that's a special section just on the vaccine pandemic, you know, vaccine-induced deaths. And then part five, if I can stay up this late, because remember, I'm recording these at around midnight. Part five is going to be the COVID smoking gun and the lab origins, and Fauci now admitting that it might have come from a lab, and the anti-debunking of the lab theory. You know, it now has to be debunked, or how would you say that? Rebunked, whatever. And then it's possible I might have a short part six with just kind of a final overview and some wrap-up thoughts, but I may not make it to six. I don't know. just kind of see how all this goes. But that's the outline for today. So again, you can listen to each part separately, or you can wait for the whole thing to come out. You can listen to the whole thing all the way through. And I'm going to attempt to stick to this format and to do the planning necessary to bring you the table of contents up front, even though sometimes I don't really know exactly what the focus is going to be until I get to it. But I'm going to try to bring you this format. If you've got some feedback on this, you can email us at situationupdate@protonmail.com. Again, that's situationupdate@protonmail.com. And we have listened to your suggestions, and that's why we're doing this. And we thank you for your support. We're about to get into the crazy jaw-dropping headlines here, which is the continuation of part one here. But let me just mention our sponsor today, which sponsoring the entire show, is the Satellite Phone Store. Thank you for supporting them and considering all of our sponsors, well, all two of them, because we're very strict on who we would even, you know, allow to be a sponsor. But Satellite Phone Store is a great company, and you can find what they have available, free satellite phones, when you sign up for a plan that gives you minutes every month that roll over month after month. So you collect the minutes, you can use it in emergencies. Just go to SAT123.com. That's SAT like satellite, SAT123.com. And know that I have now multiple satellite phones in the hands of family members and employees. I carry one with me all the time in my car. If the grid goes down or the cell towers go down, boom, I've got the ability to call a landline or a cell phone or another satellite phone. And so this is a life-saving prepper device. And you know, there's a spectrum of high-tech redundancy and then low-tech redundancy and then no-tech redundancy. So in fact, I'm doing a book on this later on. High-tech redundancy when it comes to communications like this would be a satellite phone. Low-tech redundancy would be, let's say, landlines, you know, physically connected wires, a landline connecting to another landline. Or you might say a CB radio would be low-tech. And then no-tech would be smoke signals, or what we call sneaker net, where you just run over to your neighbor and you talk to him face-to-face. So when we talk about preparedness, which is not a focus today, but we'll talk about it later on, always think about having redundancies in all three levels: high-tech, low-tech, and no-tech. So you need to be able to get water, for example, in a high-tech way, a low-tech way, and a no-tech way. No-tech would be buckets of water scooped out of a lake or something, or collecting buckets of water off your roof, you know. Low-tech would be like a gravity water filter, and high-tech would be like a rainwater collection system with an ultraviolet light and a pump and filters and, you know, pressure gauges and all that stuff. So just think about these three different ways to achieve redundancy in your life, and we'll cover that more later. In fact, I'm going to do a whole book on that. All right, we're going to get right into the crazy headlines. A private security firm is launching a subscription police kind of service, even though they're not technically police. But it's a company called Citizen, and they have a neighborhood watch app. And they're partnering with a company called the Los Angeles Professional Security, LAPS, which is a private security firm. And they're providing subscription law enforcement services to residents and businesses. And the reason I bring this up is, do you remember the film RoboCop back in the 1980s, I think it was, 87 or 88, something like that, RoboCop? And it was a giant corporation city, and it was lawless unless you had some money. And then you could pay the police for protection. And of course, the corporation ran the drug trade and the human trafficking and the weapons and weapons trafficking and all that. This is what it's coming to. And probably with robots too, you know, robots roaming the streets, working for the corporations. So think about this: as these left-wing cities are defunding law enforcement, if you want police to respond when you call, you're going to have to pay a subscription fee. And this is the way I think things are going, especially in Democrat-controlled cities across America. If you want fire to respond. You're going to have to pay a subscription fee to a local fire department. And by the way, that exists in some places across America, in rural counties, for example. If you want police to respond, you're going to have to pay a police subscription. You know, if you want an ambulance, you know, you're going to need a plan in advance and so on. Because the cities are not only going bankrupt, but they're intentionally defunding these services. And so what this means is that poor people are screwed in all these Democrat cities. I mean, of course they are, because that's what Democrats love, is to make poor people even more poor. And if poor people are getting raped or shot or mugged or stabbed, they call 911. The 911 operator just laughs. You're funny. This is so hilarious. We don't respond to you. If you want an actual response, you got to have a subscription plan, you know, a paid plan. So this is what it's coming to, especially in Democrat-controlled cities. And the way you know this is all happening is because you've seen in Democrat-controlled cities, they've legalized shoplifting, right? In San Francisco, you saw that story last week about all the CVS pharmacies shutting down, moving out of town, just closing. Because they've legalized shoplifting, you can now shoplift up to $950 worth of stuff per shoplifting incident. Legally, now, police won't respond to that. And I think it was Baltimore, wasn't it? A couple of months ago, announced that they weren't going to have police responding to, what was it? Prostitution and drug use. So you could be hanging out on a street corner in Baltimore, you know, banging a prostitute and snorting crack, or smoking crack. I guess you smoke that. And I was joking that it's like Hunter Biden's new home. He's going to love it. You can do anything you want in Baltimore. But the point is, even if you get stabbed or shot or murdered now, in many cities, the response time is, you know, 37 minutes or something, because the police are already overrun or underfunded or understaffed and so on. And of course, police in those cities are quitting or retiring in droves. Because if you were a cop, and I know a lot of cops listen to this podcast, if you were a cop in Portland or San Francisco or Seattle, wouldn't you want to get the heck out of those cities as quickly as possible? Yeah, you would take a retirement option just like that, and you would go see if maybe you could work as a sheriff deputy in a rural county somewhere that's filled with sane people instead of insane violent criminals. And that's what's happening. Or you might just join a security company or something. Who wants to be a cop in a liberal city these days? It's like a suicide mission. All right, now moving on, a story from Daily Wire. Remember how last week I was talking about the energy weapons that have been attacking U.S. officials and people who work in embassies and so on? Well, Daily Wire is reporting now that top U.S. officials, now numbering 130 suspected victims who are CIA operatives and U.S. diplomats, they're being treated for brain injuries, debilitating headaches, and vertigo. And this is from Fox News reporter Jennifer Griffin. The targets, they believe, of a directed energy microwave weapon. There's a grammar mistake in that quote, but I'm reading it as it is. So it's a microwave weapon, and it's disrupting their neurology. And the brains had suffered, quote, tangible neurological changes that were, quote, not like anything we've ever seen before. This is from 2019, top officials told the New Yorker magazine. So the victims have sustained serious brain injuries that resembled concussions suffered by soldiers struck by roadside bombs in Iraq and Afghanistan, but there were no signs of impact. And it was as if the victims had, quote, a concussion without a concussion. Now, so this is real. This is happening. These are directed energy weapons, and they use the microwave frequencies. Guess what else uses microwave frequencies? Oh, yeah, 5G cell towers. Yeah, and 5G cell towers are also directed energy weapon systems. So when you wonder what's happening to the brains of Americans, why are so many people having a cognitive meltdown of sorts? Think about this. We know these weapons exist. The media will claim, oh, it's the Russians, because that's all they can think of. Whatever they don't know how to explain, it's the Russians. But it's probably way more than the Russians. It's probably America's deep state or something. It's probably some internal battle between the white hats and the black hats. And one team has like a quantum supercomputer, another team has like alien future telling crystal balls, and then the other one has like microwave brain frying energy weapons. I mean, we're living in a sci-fi bizarro world, you know, dystopian battlefield, basically. And I'm telling you, it's all real. This stuff is really happening. And if they want to, they can turn these weapons on you. So that's what happens if you're important enough for them to deploy one of these weapons on. They just beam it at your head, and then your brain starts getting scrambled. You don't know why, but you end up with a concussion without a concussion. See? Fifth generational warfare. They don't have to throw a grenade in your bedroom anymore or set fire to your house. They can just have an energy weapon fired at you from, you know, three blocks away. As long as it's a tight enough beam, they're going to fry your brain night after night until you wake up one morning babbling like Joe Biden. And then you're no longer a threat to them because you can't remember who you are or what you do. I mean, Joe Biden is not a threat to the deep state because Joe Biden has no clue who he is. He doesn't even know he's president. They've got him driving, you know, a fake child's steering wheel in that Ford truck. It's like, yippee, I can turn the wheel. I can turn it just like we're driving like a real truck, mommy. And he's an actor at this point. He's just playing a role. Unreal. All right. From the website Am Greatness, which is AmericanGreatness.com or AM Greatness. Why are Democrats so afraid of election results? I thought I would bring this in and mention that, yeah, Democrats are terrified of what happens when you count the ballots. When you look at the ballots, they freak out and they start claiming it's all conspiracy theories. You should never have to look at the ballots. That's crazy talk. You should trust the machines, trust the software, trust the tallies. Remember when they sold us the machines, right? They always said, well, if you ever have a question about the machines, don't worry. You can just look at the physical ballots. And then when we want to look at the physical ballots in Maricopa County, the Democrats scream and shout and stomp their feet and go, you can't look at the physical ballots. You can't look at the machine. You can't have the passwords. You can't look at the source code. It's a black box. Trust us. We would never rig the election. So the Democrats are basically admitting that they did rig the election. Otherwise, why would they be freaking out about looking at the ballots? So if you listen to various analysts on this issue, there are a lot of kind of positive-oriented, you know, white hat fans, independent media people right now that are saying, this is the beginning, the dominoes are going to fall. What they're saying is that first, Maricopa County is going to show massive fraud, and then the audits are going to be demanded for Georgia, and then Pennsylvania, and so on, you know, Michigan, and it's all going to be overturned. A big case is going to go to the Supreme Court, they say, and the Supreme Court is going to overturn the 2020 election and hand it back to Trump, and Trump's going to be back in office in the White House pushing more vaccines. And then there are other people who say, no. There's no way that's going to be reversed. This is only about making sure that the 2022 elections are honest by exposing the fraud and the failures of the 2020 election. So those are more kind of middle of the road people. And then there are the pessimists who say nothing's going to happen. This is all going to be covered up because the whole system is corrupt. Even the Republicans are totally corrupt or half corrupt, depending on the state. And nothing's going to happen. And we're never going to have an honest election again. And 2022 is not going to be any good news because it's all rigged anyway. The Dominion machines are going to just throw it to the Democrats, they say again, and we're all screwed. So you got about three choices of whom you choose to believe on that spectrum. And I'm not even sure how I think this is going to go either. But I tell you what, I kind of suspect that Trump doesn't want to be in the White House until after this economic collapse takes place. That's what I think. Because I think a dollar collapse is rapidly approaching, and this country is going to be plunged into chaos very quickly. And I don't think Trump wants to be in the White House, even if he could. And I also don't believe that the Supreme Court will ever do the right thing, by the way. That's just me. I've been watching them. They've made a couple of good decisions recently, but overall, I don't trust them. And finally, on the subject, I also think that even if you believe the white hat theory that Trump's coming back, and maybe he is, I don't know, but even if you believe that, then according to that theory, there has to be a whole lot more pain across America before people really turn against Biden and basically demand Trump coming back. Now, granted, this pain is being inflicted day by day, and it's getting worse, but Biden's approval ratings are still not down to 30%. That's where they need to be. Remember, we talked about that, what, December or January or something? The approval ratings really need to plummet. So apparently, Democrats have not yet experienced enough pain to realize that Democrat leaders are lunatics and that they will destroy your entire civilization. So apparently it's not enough that gas prices are doubled and lumber prices are up 500% and, you know, real estate prices, housing prices, copper prices, food prices, everything's going through the roof. And we have engineered food shortages and upcoming famine, probably more riots, more economic collapse and so on. It's kind of like, how much pain does it take before a libtard realizes that Democrats are bad for civilization? And the answer, I'm afraid, the answer is that some libtards will never get it. They can be living in Venezuela and still thinking that socialism works awesome. You know, they can be starving to death and they can still think that the only problem is that socialism hasn't been applied correctly yet. They can lose all their freedoms. They can be totally censored and have no Second Amendment, nothing. And they'll just say, well, we just need smarter people to implement communism because some libtards are beyond hope. And isn't it interesting that those libtards are the ones taking the vaccines right now? They're the ones taking the vaccines. And then you start to think, oh, Operation Warp Speed. What was it really? Was it Trump's plan to inject Democrats with euthanasia shots? See, now, then you have this whole other parallel theory that comes up. Is Trump playing like the long strategy here to get Democrats to take vaccines that will kill them in order to change the entire electorate for 2022 and 2024? I don't know. These are just possibilities. I don't have any inside information on that. But if you think who's taking the vaccines, it's the libtards. They're the ones dumb enough to trust. I mean, look, these are the same people who said that when Trump was president, they did not trust the vaccine because Trump created it or pushed it. And then when Biden got sworn in on January 20th, all these libtards suddenly said, well, now we trust it. What? What? It's still Trump's vaccine. It's just that Biden's telling you to take it now, but suddenly they trusted it. You can't be dumber than that. I mean, how can they be so stupid? But then again, it is a global IQ test where the globalists are saying, hey, who's dumb enough to take this vaccine? They probably shouldn't be around, according to, you know, the Bill Gates of the world. And at some level, it's hard to argue with some of that. You know what I mean? Really. But I don't know what's actually happening behind the scenes on all that. We'll just have to watch and see. But in the meantime, I'm not taking a vaccine. And it turns out Senator Rand Paul is not taking a vaccine either. God bless Senator Rand Paul. He said it publicly, no vaccine for me, because he doesn't trust it. Every senator should be saying that. This is experimental. But it's only one. It's only Rand Paul, which is why I say Rand Paul for president. Maybe Rand Paul and Florida Governor DeSantis, you know, could both compete for the presidency in 2024. Meanwhile, Trump is still pushing the vaccine for whatever reason, but at least Rand Paul is saying nope. And Rand Paul grilled Fauci, you know, deeply the other day over the origins of the virus and basically exposed the fact that it's a biological weapon. And by the way, speaking of bioterrorism, I want to make this comment. The Associated Press is a terrorist organization. The Associated Press, in the history of World War II, they were Hitler's mouthpiece. I don't know if you know this, but they worked with Hitler, and Hitler loved the AP and said it was the most reliable propaganda source for pushing out Nazi news to the West. And the AP was right in there with Hitler, you know, running his press releases and being his mouthpiece at the same time that IBM was providing, you know, Holocaust accounting punch card machines to keep track of the Jewish prisoners and, you know, the extermination agenda. Got to have computers to efficiently exterminate 6 million people. And then today, the Associated Press is working with Hamas, a terrorist organization in the Middle East. And then last week, the Associated Press attacked Ty and Charlene Bollinger, who are the Truth About Vaccines couple and the Truth About Cancer. They've helped save millions of lives and educate tens of millions of people about vaccines and cancer and the evils of the industry and so on. Associated Press attacks them and says they're evil for making a living selling DVDs of interviews of doctors telling the truth about cancer. The Associated Press never says Big Pharma is evil for making money off of killing people or keeping people sick or making money off fraudulent pharmaceuticals and toxic, deadly vaccines. Tens of billions of dollars so far on the vaccines. Associated Press thinks nothing of it. Well, why would they? They didn't call out Hitler when he was gassing the Jews. That's the Associated Press. So when their building was blown up the other day, the building they share with Hamas, so they can run the Hamas terrorist news, and then I think Israel came along with some, I don't know what kind of bombs or missiles or something, just took that building down. Kind of like karma, isn't it? If you are a mouthpiece for Hitler and a mouthpiece for terrorists, and you're attacking good people, don't be surprised when your buildings get blown up and torn down by nation states like Israel. That's all I'm saying. Maybe they'll think twice about who they're partnering with. I'm talking about AP and the terrorists. All right, next item. We are living in a, I'm going to keep it PG here, a BS economy. A BS economy. So much of what people are buying isn't even real. It's not even real. And the latest example of this is a company called Stream or something here. They make an RV attachment for the Tesla Cybertruck. And this RV attachment, the claim is that it pops out of the truck's bed and turns it into a living space, kind of like a mini apartment with a room and a shower and a sink and a desk and chairs. And it folds into a bed, and it has a solar panel roof, and it has a three-stage wall system that automatically unfolds. And this company already has $50 million in pre-orders for these units that are sold at $50,000 each. So they have pre-sold 1,000 units, and all they have is a 3D rendering animation. That is obviously complete BS. There is no way, and you can mark my words on this, there's no way this company will ever make this product that works the way it shows in the animation. It's a science fiction fantasy. It's, if you could see this animation, it's called the Cyberlander, L-A-N-D-R, and the company's called Stream It. Yeah, Stream It. And all they've done is release a video. This thing's not even real, and people have spent $50 million on it. And it just struck me that, you know, this thing will never exist. I mean, to design something like this and have it work as depicted in the animation, that's at least a 5-year R&D project. And it would require crazy advancements in materials and motors and servos and weatherproofing. And I mean, I can't even tell you the complexity of what they've put in the animation. I mean, it's real easy to have an animation of a, you know, Starship Enterprise flying through space. It's really hard to build a Starship Enterprise with warp drives and photon torpedoes. I mean, science fiction and fact are not the same thing. So yeah, anybody can render science fiction. You can render a video like, hey, we're all going to go to Mars. You know, hop on this spaceship. Here's an animation depiction of the spaceship arc. We'll call it like the Elon Musk, suicide torpedo version 2. And you'll fly to Mars, and there you'll be greeted by Martian colony inhabitants, and you'll enjoy the fresh gardens on Mars and whatever. But it's just fantasy. It's just fantasy, and people buy into it. It's not even real. It will never be real. We don't even know if the Cybertruck will ever be real, much less a compact house that folds into the trunk of it. It's like a little apartment building. that folds into the back of the truck? I don't think so. I mean, you might as well say like a helicopter folds out of the back and then you can fly around. It's like, what was the movie, Chitty Chitty Bang Bang, the flying car? Was that The Sound of Music? Chitty Chitty Bang Bang. Yeah, the car could just fly because it's science fiction. Well, some kind of fiction. It's not real. But people are investing in things, buying things that aren't real. What's this non-fungible token thing? People are spending millions of dollars to buy a digital token that represents somebody else's tweet or somebody's photograph. It's like, oh, here's a digital fingerprint of a photograph. It's only $5 million. And people buy that. And like, what are you buying? I'm buying proof that I have the digital fingerprint of that photograph. So I have the JPEG and it was free. What are you buying again? What do you think this is worth? So much of our economy right now, it's so overinflated with all this extra money that people are throwing money at things that are just fantasy. Will never be real. You might as well be playing a fantasy online role-playing game where there's a Tesla truck. And yeah, for $50,000, you can have an RV camper in your online Tesla truck, in your virtual world, where you're also growing corn with your friends because you're playing some online simulation game. You can buy cars there, but they're not real. You can't take the car out of the fantasy world and then drive around in it. It doesn't work that way. But then again, we have Bitcoin. So people, by the way, you notice that Bitcoin has dropped 50%, basically, in the last, I don't know, 10 days or something. 50% from its highs of the year. And we're going to talk about Bitcoin in the economy section, which is part two of this podcast coming up. But just think about it. If you bought Bitcoin at the high, you just lost 50% of your money. Actually, you lost 100% because you gave your money to somebody and they just gave you in exchange a line in a ledger. So you lost 100%. You might be able to get back 50% if you find somebody else to buy that line from you in the ledger, but you got to find them and convince them to give you money for a line in a ledger. That's called the blockchain. And think about it. Bitcoin is only worth whatever its current holders can convince the next people down the line to pay. So it's always about unloading Bitcoin to the next sucker who's going to join the Ponzi scheme. And it's nuts. Now, granted, again, cryptocurrency has some advantages such as mobility, portability and speed of transactions and so on. I'm not against cryptocurrency. I'm just saying that people buying Bitcoin is just like people buying this fake RV in the back of a non-existent Tesla truck. You're buying an illusion. It's a fantasy land, but you've given somebody, actual fiat currency in exchange for a fantasy, and the fantasy is not real. And the only way to make Bitcoin real is to sell it for something that is real, like gold or land or a house or an actual Dodge pickup truck or something like that, or a tractor or guns and ammo. It's not real until you sell it and convert it to something that's real. So nobody is a Bitcoin billionaire. There's no such thing. No such thing. If they think they have billions in Bitcoin, it's not worth anything until you sell it. And the only way to sell it is to find somebody else to buy it at the price that you want, and there aren't that many buyers around. That's the problem. All right, we'll cover that more in part two, the economy. One more final headline in this part. 60% of U.S. colleges are now abandoning the SAT and ACT scores in college admissions. Because we're becoming libtard nation. That's right. Academic performance is no longer relevant. And why should it be? When your value to society is purely judged on a combination of the color of your skin and the degree of your gayness. It's like, how gay are you? How black are you? How brown are you? How trans are you? These are now the things that get you into college. And I don't have anything against people who are gay or lesbian or white or brown or black or anything, or even trans as adults. If you want to wear women's clothing as a man, freaking go for it. But to say that this is what should determine how you get into college, that's insane. That's insane. And we had the American Medical Association do this recently. They say, well, we can't judge doctors based on, you know, how good they are at doctoring. We have to judge them based on, you know, their woke status. So now you're going to have woke medicine and woke surgeons who may not have any clue what they're doing in the surgical theater. It's like, what is that? Doctor, that's a suture. Oh, that wasn't on the test. Yeah, because you had a woke test. You didn't have a medical test. The medical tests are no longer applied in medical school, just like the academic tests are no longer given for academia. It's all just about the color of your skin and how woke you are and how trans you are and whether, you know, whether you pretend to be something or not. So this is all part of the pretend economy. Also, you got to think, these people buying the fake Tesla truck RV thing, these are probably the people who think that you know, men could give birth and women have a penis. It's the same lunacy, and it will end. It will come to an end, because you can only deny reality for so long. And I don't know, maybe it is all these microwave beam weapons just beaming at everybody's heads, and maybe the 5G cell towers are literally scrambling the neurons of half the population, the people who live in cities or something. Maybe that's why they're insane enough to vote for Biden, or at least some of them. But something's wrong. People have been made insane. Maybe it's a combination of 5G and the chemtrails and the pesticides and, I don't know, now it's the vaccines with the freaking magnetic nanoparticles and all these things going on. Something is eating people's brains. The zombie apocalypse is here. That's all I'm saying. The zombie apocalypse is here. And in the end, when all of this collapses, and it will, the transgenderism BS will collapse, the fake Tesla RV thing will collapse, the Bitcoin illusion will collapse, the dollar will collapse, the fake government will collapse. I mean, when all of this collapses, guess what counts? What counts is what you can touch. I mean, at least in the physical world, right? I'm not saying that compassion doesn't count and morality doesn't count, but I'm saying in terms of economics, it only counts if you can touch it. You know, do you have land beneath your feet? Do you have a roof over your head? Do you have a physical truck, not a make-believe Tesla truck that doesn't exist? Do you have an actual working AR-15 rifle? Do you have 5,000 rounds of ammo for it? What do you have that's real? Because that's what counts when all this BS collapses, and the collapse is coming. All right, so that's part one of today's situation update. And as you can tell, I'm just getting warmed up. I'm starting to get kind of excited about where we're going with this podcast. Actually, I get entertained, and I also get a little peeved sometimes at thinking of how stupid people are. And then we all have to survive their stupidity because we're all affected by it. It's just beyond insane, but this is the world in which we live. So that's it for part one. Part two of today's podcast is next. We're going to cover the economy and the collapse, and most importantly, the big story out of California of the artificial engineering of the drought to cause food scarcity and economic collapse. So check that out, part two, coming shortly.